The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to a, I guess, auxiliary edition of the Ruthless Aggression Podcast. We had a regular edition of the show just talking current era earlier this week. Now we're going back in time to 2006, just mostly because of scheduling issues here. We just couldn't land down all three of us together to do all this at once. So Rob and I are going to be talking about the 2006 shows. You've got 2 weeks worth of them to bring to you today. The aftermath of WrestleMania 22, which, as we last left us, John Cena won the main event against Triple H. Rey Mysterio is the new World Heavyweight Champion, whatever you want to call him. The Undertaker is still unbeaten. Edge speared Mick Foley through a flaming table.
Yeah.
And a couple other things. RVD won Money in the Bank.
Yes.
Big Show and Kane retained their tag titles. Shawn Michaels dropped a suck it and then also defeated Vince McMahon in a no-holds-barred match, I believe it was. And we have a new women's champion on Raw.
Yeah, there you go.
Mickey James. Sorry, some wires are crossing here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Rob, WrestleMania 22, of course, very significant show because not only is it at the Rosemont Horizon, but it is the last arena WrestleMania ever, because they're never going back to arenas now.
No, they certainly are not. You know, there's too much money in the stadiums and all that, and everyone seems to enjoy the stadiums. And
yeah, I mean, look at current era WWE. I mean, you had the Rumble stadium show, Saudi stadium show, two nights of a stadium show at WrestleMania. You've got a stadium show for Money in the Bank now.
Yeah, they have a lot of them.
The biggest Money in the Bank ever. They should bill it as such, by the way. We'll talk about that. We get closer to the event, or just as a random aside. And then they're doing SummerSlam at the Titan Stadium, Nissan Stadium in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to Cardiff for another stadium show. And
yeah,
they're probably doing Saudi again at a stadium. Like this is just, it's an antique.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say about a show that only happened 16 years ago.
Yeah, no,
we've come a long way.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but we can get into it.
Yeah,
let's
get into it. So, this is the start of April. Baseball season has sprung upon us. By the way, baseball season so far, been pretty fun.
Yeah, it's been good.
I've enjoyed watching the Yankees, as aggravating as they can be sometimes, because the 8-9 hitters are basically just non-existent. Rob, you're having fun watching the new Cubs sensation?
Yeah, it's been a good time, and... 2006, we'll get into some of the baseball stuff in between the weeks, because we have 2 weeks this week. I don't remember. I think 2006 was when Chris Shelton hit like 10 homers in the first 13 or 14 games.
Oh my God,
I believe. I think that was 2006. You'll have to look that up. But yeah, we can get into the music for our first week here. We have a new number one song, so that's fun. Number five is still Be Without You by Mary J. Blige. Number four is still You're Beautiful. Number three is So Sick. Number two, down from number one, is Temperature by Sean Paul. And the new number one song is Bad Day by Daniel Powder, which This might have been right around when American Idol co-opted it.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Obviously, it was in the NFL fantasy football commercial for years.
Really, really long time.
But American Idol really picking it up, and I think it really made a difference. Because, because this is probably right around American Idol. I mean, when did American Idol start? Because it would go into summer.
It started in 03.
No, but like what time of year? It was usually around like spring into summer, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
This would be... probably had a good, impact on it being number one.
Let me see.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay. Season 5. Yeah, so season 5 of American Idol started in January and then ended in May.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sure it, as is.
Yeah, exactly. Then the top 5 movies, number 5 is Failure to Launch, number 4 is V for Vendetta, number 3 is ATL, debuting at number 3, down to 2 is Inside Man, and debuting at number 1 is Ice Age 2: The Meltdown. Never seen the Ice Age movies, but everyone seems to enjoy them.
Oh yeah, they're always fun.
And then we do have one piece of wrestling news from April 4th. Tyson Tomko has left WWE asking for his release, and it was on good terms. He went to Japan for a little bit and then reunited with Christian.
Yeah, I remember the Japan run of his. I obviously remember him reuniting with Christian down in TNA.
Yeah, so I mean, they don't really have anything for him, you know? You might as well let him go. Yeah,
I mean, he was on good terms.
He served his purpose. He wasn't very good as a singles guy, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, he was a good bodyguard and, intimidating guy. So
exactly.
It worked in that regard.
Like, I've never seen his Japan stuff. I can almost guarantee he was more over there than he was in the U.S., just because those American guys coming in.
Exactly.
It's just a big thing for them over there. But we can get into Raw, April 3rd, 2006, from Rosemont.
And, of course, that night they were competing with, or quote-unquote competing with, the national championship game in basketball.
Yes.
Which was won by the Florida Gators.
Yes.
Gators defeated UCLA. Final Four Most Outstanding Player, Joakim Noah, led the Gators to their first NCAA basketball championship. He scored 16 points and set a championship game record with 6 blocked shots. I'd be interested in knowing if that still holds as the single game blocks record for the national championship game.
Probably.
I would have to imagine, but thinking about it, I don't know if it was, maybe Anthony Davis had 6 blocks or maybe at 7, but
yeah, he could have, I guess.
Let me check. I'll check that, because that to me, maybe I'm forgetting a good shot blocker from any of these eras, but feels like if it was going to be anybody, it would be Anthony Davis, but let's see. Against Kansas, he had... I can't even tell because it's not even on Kenpo. So. I'll assume yes. But that's a big moment for Florida basketball. They had, I believe, made the Final Four in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when they were in St. Pete.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, at the Trop.
Yeah.
This... Big moment for the Gator basketball, because this is a big year for Florida sports.
Yeah, a big kind of 18 months or so for them.
Yeah. I wonder how their baseball team did that year.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Let's see. They won. They were the runners up in the College World Series.
Yeah, so they were really.
They won the SEC regular season title and then won the Gainesville and Gainesville Super Regionals.
Yeah, and as it turns out, just Billy Donovan.
Oh, never mind. That was 2005. Let me see. 2006. Nope, they weren't that great. Okay, anyways.
As it turns out, Billy Donovan was just a very good coach. It's not a particularly good job. We figured that out when he left.
I think Mike White is just not
good either. No, that's fair. Yeah, we'll see how Florida does now. Things worked out for Billy Donovan, too. Finally ended up in the NBA, and now he's not a very good coach, so, John Cena's here to open Raw. You got a mixed reaction. Oh, we should talk about, just because it didn't come up on the WrestleMania one, because we were, just busy with other stuff, but, this was kind of a big year for Ring of Honor.
Yes, it was.
WrestleMania weekend wasn't really a thing. It was mostly just, Supercard of Honor. I think they ran one in LA, and then they ran one here, but, this was kind of a big one. This is a famous one. Bryan Danielson and Roddy Strong go an hour in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
They have a 5-star match on this show. 6-man tag, no less. A lot of guys that you'll recognize on here. Samoa Joe's in the mix. Christopher Daniels. This is kind of a step towards them, getting bigger, getting more legitimate. Unfortunately, they don't have CM Punk anymore. But,
Yeah, because this is the first Supercard of Honor.
Yeah.
So it's really the start of it, because next year they're at the Michigan State Fairgrounds and Expo Center in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So this is this, like you said, it's a launching point for them, because this is the Ring of Honor is coming off. I would probably say 2005 was one of their biggest years ever.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, the Punk stuff, and Punk stuff, you know, Joe was still there.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. In 06, they really kind of started blowing up, because I actually went to a show in 2006. I think I've talked about it before.
Yeah, because I think 2006 is when Joe faces Kenta.
Yes.
In September, I believe. I think Danielson also faces him in September.
He might. I know the big match at the end of 2006, the final battle, was Danielson versus Homicide.
Yeah.
Where Homicide won the title.
Yeah.
Because I was at the show right before final battle.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's crazy. You look back, and here we are 15 years later, and all these guys are still just making big impacts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this card, like, you know, goodness.
Samoa Joe is still a main eventer. Danielson's still...
Adam Pearce.
Adam Pearce, yeah.
He's a constant, consistent figure. You know, you have Shelley, Cesaro, Claudio Castagnoli, Jimmy Yang.
Mm-hmm.
Styles, Seidel.
Styles there, yeah.
Unfortunately, Austin Aries and Jack Evans. Like you mentioned, the six-man tag that got 5 stars, which was probably amazing. I never watched it, but it's probably amazing. You even got a women's match on here.
Yeah.
You did some stuff with Shimmer. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and Homicide was on here, like you said. Joe, Daniels, Jimmy Jacobs, and Danielson, like you said, he beat Roddy Strong in 56 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a big event.
So yeah, Raw, you know, John Cena's here to open the show. He's being booed, but, you know, says the champ is still here.
Yeah, he's so controversial.
It's not a popularity contest. It's about defending the title. Cena continues talking, then Triple H comes out and commends him, but the whole world saw him kick Cena's ass last night, but Cena found a way to win anyway, and Triple H is upset about it. Made the same stupid mistake that everyone else who's faced Cena has made. He underestimated him, and, you know, it cost him in the end. He wants another shot. Edge comes out and says that Triple H shouldn't get another shot. You know, it should be Edge's time. He won his match at WrestleMania, and he's undefeated. And Triple H doesn't care, because none of them have been in the main event. Really good stuff here.
This is there's some things that I noted that I just want to go over. First of all,
yeah,
big fan of the Triple H's fat sign. I'm not so much of a fan of the Edge's rated G for gay sign.
That one hasn't aged
very
well.
Cringeworthy, has not aged particularly well. Not the best sign to have
also
frontal on TV here.
Also doesn't really make sense.
It's not really making sense. It is a childish-ass thing.
Yeah.
Childish-ass thing to say. I mean, that's just stupid. Knowing how, you know, minds work, that was probably written by, like, a 15-year-old. Also, there were some good quotables in this segment. I liked how they started the show, by the way. The cold open with Cena's music starting after what happened the previous night. That's a good way to build off the momentum.
Because
I like that they had the guy who was last in the ring be the guy who opens the show the next night. That's good.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's good and fun to me.
I don't know if they did the thing where they started a few minutes early and showed the WrestleMania highlights or something. Because it was weird, kind of.
Yeah, because they when they would do that, they would start at like 8:57.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Also, there was a good back and forth between Edge and Triple H where Edge said that he's accomplished things that he didn't do, like beat John Cena for the WWE Championship. And then Triple H responded by, yeah, you were the WWE Champion, but Jesus, I took a nap for 20 minutes and I missed the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just really, really entertaining. And then also, you know, the thing where Cena was like, did you just say bling bling? I should kick your ass just for saying that. And then Triple H is like, no, you should for that. You should kick his ass.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
So Edge's, you don't want to let your chain gang down, though I don't think there's anybody left line had me rolling as well. There's some really good entertaining banter here. I like this is a good combination of people.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah, they really, and you know, spoiler, we get into next week. They got me excited for the match at Backlash just with the two segments they did.
Yeah, exactly.
Triple H and Edge challenged Cena to a handicap match, and he accepts. So
yeah.
That's going to be the main event tonight.
Yes, it will be. We'll get a few more of these types of matches going forward. They're going to be a lot of fun. So we start off with a World Tag Team Championship match between Kane and the Big Show and the Spirit Squad. So we've got a 5-on-2 match here.
Well, no, it's only two of them.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. So we got 2v2. Kane went for a spear in the corner but missed, so he hit the post. Classic spot.
Yeah.
So they started attacking his arm, kept him away from the Big Show. Eventually he got to him. Big Show got the momentum back, but they did 5-on-1 on Big Show with Kane indisposed, and the Spirit Squad got the win. So we have new World Tag Team Champions.
We do. You know, we'll see what Kane and Big Show do now. We figure out what Kane's going to do in the next one. It's not ideal, but I don't remember. Well, Big Show...
Big Show goes to ECW.
Oh, yeah. And then he leaves for
a little bit. About a year and a half.
Yeah. He was going to go face Hogan, and it didn't work out. We'll talk about it next
year. Yeah, exactly. So this is interesting. This is actually the, you know, we're approaching the end of the line for Big Show in WWE.
Yeah.
This is where the trickle-down begins.
RVD comes out with a briefcase and a mic, says that he doesn't see a reason to wait for a long time like Edge did, and his cash-in is going to be extreme.
I wonder what he could be referring to there.
Chris Masters beats up some poor dude, and then Carlito comes out, spits his apple in the guy's face, and then hugs Masters, says that everything's fine, and then he hits a backstabber.
Good decision here.
Yeah?
This is a good decision. You've run Carlito as a heel for 2 years, almost, at this point. He's insanely popular and over. I mean, every week he's getting good reactions. He's obviously very talented on the mic and whatnot. You might as well flip him.
Yeah.
Because you kind of, at this point, because, you know, they took him out of Money in the Bank, which I still think is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
The Flair stuff is what it is, but he's the easiest person to just kind of toss out there. I get it, but I also feel like, you know, they could have done better by Carlito there. But if you've strung it out that long, where he's just your mid-card champ on SmackDown, and then your mid-card champ on Raw, as a heel, give him some new direction.
Yeah.
You might as well, you know, like I said, to this point, very popular, comedic timing is good, everything's working for him, push him as a babyface, why not?
Yeah.
So I like this decision. I definitely like this decision.
It's fair.
This is a very good decision for Carlito. It's going to pay off in spades for him.
Shawn Michaels here said he did everything he said he would do last night, you know, made Vince endure his own personal hell, and Shawn's ready to move on now. So he'd also like to challenge John Cena for the title, which we'll have to wait a little bit for that. But it's worth it. So,
it is.
Shane comes out. He wants to introduce his father, Vince McMahon, who comes out with a neck brace and bandages. Vince's whole family witnessed what Shawn did to him last night, but nothing compares to what Shawn put Shane through when he shoved his face up Vince's ass and handcuffed him and made him watch the beatdown. Vince has two words for Shawn, but Shawn has two words for Vince, and it's suck it. Vince says Shawn can't beat the McMahons. No one in the world can, so at Backlash, Vince and Shane will team up against Shawn and God. Yeah, so that'd be interesting to follow here.
Oh, boy. Yeah, if you... You remember this angle? Next week, it's, Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, so next up, we get Trish Stratus and Tori Wilson against the team of Candice Michelle and Trish Stratus lookalike, or cosplayer, Mickie James.
Yeah.
Who comes out in full Trish getup.
Mm-hmm.
And she
gets the win, obviously.
She does.
Over Tori, and keep moving along. Chavo Guerrero's here. He's grateful for all the support over the weekend. He's happy for Rey, but he would also like to honor Eddie by winning the Intercontinental Championship tonight, so he gets a match against Chavo, or against Shelton. Loses pretty much right away, and Coach says he's an embarrassment. And on WWE Unlimited, Chavo says he's quitting wrestling, so...
This is way too random for me.
It's weird,
it doesn't work for me.
Chavo ends up doing some good stuff after this. I don't know how soon it is after this.
No, we gotta wait a little bit, but I don't like the abruptness of it.
Yeah.
Like, you lost one match, and now you're gonna quit? You didn't even... And it's not like he was even a constant figure on TV. He was just in the background with Rey.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can understand, like, if he was constantly trying... Like, okay, they did the thing with Rey, right?
Yep.
So they could have done the same thing with Chavo, technically, where he was trying to win the Rumble for Eddie. And then you could try and win titles for Eddie, or go to WrestleMania for Eddie. Because he was in the Road to WrestleMania tournament, right?
Yeah.
He lost to Triple H in like a 20-minute match or whatever that was. So, like, if you kept that going, and if this is his breaking point, then okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's just so abrupt, and it falls flat.
Yeah, it's fair.
He's just, like, you're just being dramatic, man. Like, I get it. Like, don't want to, you know, tell people how to grieve, but, like, come on, man.
Ric Flair is here. He gave it his all last night, but he couldn't get the job done. However, he thinks he has another title run in him. He does not.
He does not. But we do get a great appearance here.
Yes.
From Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Yeah.
Who makes his first appearance after working... Was he in OVW or was he in Deep South?
I think he was in OVW.
Yeah, so he makes his first showing here. He goes line for line with Rick here.
Yeah.
He more than holds his own.
Says, you know, no one wants to see Ric Flair. The future is now. Agreed. And then Umaga comes out, just kicks the shit out of Flair. Good stuff. Good way to debut him. I liked it.
Also found it really funny that as Estrada got into the ring, his hat fell off. But yeah. He, like, completely played it off perfectly. It's like right there you can tell, okay, this guy definitely knows what he's doing. Yeah, this was a good effective segment. Great debut for Umaga.
Mm-hmm. Triple H tells Edge that, you know, things got heated out there earlier, but they're on the same page now. They both tell the other to take charge in the match, and the other one will sit back and watch. Mm. Then we'll get to the main event. Triple H actually does sit back and lets Edge do all the work. Cena fights back against Edge, and Triple H kind of gets up and gets involved and gets speared. So he is kind of against Edge now, but then Triple H pedigrees Cena and gets the win anyway. That was Raw. So...
Good Raw.
Yeah, the one big debut. I mean, you know, it's enough.
I think this is a good Raw.
Yeah. It was fine. It did what it had to do. Moved to SmackDown.
Right.
From Peoria. So they're staying in Illinois. We open with Paul London and Brian Kendrick against Eminem. Melina spends a lot of the match just kind of screaming on the outside, but... Really some good stuff, kind of good showcase for London and Kendrick. Eminem go for the snapshot on London, but Kendrick takes out Nitro, and then London gets the win with the roll-up. So, kind of building momentum, building up for a match between these two. It should be good.
Should be pretty good. Teddy Long was on the phone backstage. Booker T and Charmel came in, and they're very happy as they have a restraining order against the Boogeyman now.
Yeah.
And Booker T is in action then next against a man named Gunnar Scott, who had gained fame on the independent scene by being Brent Albright.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely remember, as a forum user, there was a lot of hype for this guy that I, quite frankly, never saw. However, Scott is able to get the win via a roll-up after Boogeyman's music hit. So in the confusion, he was able to pick Booker off, so things don't appear dead between these two.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know... See how it goes. Chris Benoit's in action against Simon Dean. Picks up the win and then congratulates Gunnar Scott. And Simon Dean clotheslines Benoit from his segue. next week there's going to be a celebration for JBL, which no there won't. I'll tell you that right now.
Yes.
Randy Orton made fun of Kurt Angle for losing his title. And then Kurt slapped him. And then we get into Randy Orton against Rey Mysterio for the World Heavyweight Championship.
It's a great match.
Yes,
it was a great TV match.
Excellent. I liked it more than their match at No Way Out.
There's been some... The past 3 years, there's been some great TV matches featuring whoever won the title or retained the title on, like, the first SmackDown after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I believe you had an Angle Ray match. Or not, I'm sorry, an Eddie Ray match in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
You had... Obviously, the one you saw, it wasn't directly after, you saw Eddie Angle.
Yeah.
And now we have this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of it may not be the first SmackDown after, maybe like the second after, but they're usually great with this stuff.
Yeah.
And they pulled it off for the third year in a row. This is a fantastic match.
Yeah, they got, you know, 24 minutes or so.
Yeah, they got a lot of time.
Reagan hit 2 619s, got the win, so Randy took another loss, and we'll get into that a little bit more in a little bit. I got another video for The Miz. He's coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun. Crystal interviews Ray, who has his whole family with him.
His whole family, who we would see 16 years later.
Yeah.
Still a constant fixture.
Says that he's proof that dreams do come true. So that's fun.
Just classic babyface stuff. I have no problem with it. Lamos had a problem with it, but not me. Paul Burchill and William Regal are having a match tonight, and the loser has to wear the winner's getup next week.
Yeah.
Always fun little lower mid-card stuff here. So we get that match between Burchill and Regal. Burchill wins, so Regal will be dressing as a pirate next week.
Mm.
Should bring some hilarity here.
Sure.
Next week, we get the beginning of King of the Ring. And the first match on the agenda is between Kurt Angle and Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm. It should be fun.
It is. And then we get to our main event between Undertaker and Mark Henry. Mark Henry, who wants to fight the Undertaker. He, you know, he feels he might have an axe to grind because he didn't get pinned. He was put in the casket. So they do that. They do the dance. Taker comes out. They fight for a while. But then we get another big debut. Emphasis on big. Because the Great Khali is here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually forgot that he was initially paired up with Daivari.
Mm-hmm. He kind of took out the Undertaker. Really made an impact.
Big chop.
Yeah.
I remember, I was pretty excited about this. Because I had actually, Khali was one of the first people that I, you know, heard of down in OVW.
Yeah.
And in developmental. It was him, it was like Punk. I mean, before that it was Eminem 2 and Johnny Nitro and whatnot. But Khali was definitely one of those people who, I heard things, because people said he was this gigantic human being. And to me, that, you know, brought some attention. I think there's something to be said about, you know, these larger-than-life figures. So Khali made a huge impact here.
Yeah, you know, AEW did that last night with the big guy, and everyone got a little upset about it, but, like, there's a reason for it. Like, it can be something.
Well, yeah. But I'll reserve my comments for what, you know, the base there wants. This is an emphatic end to SmackDown. Definitely very different from how Raw ended. It's sort of similar-ish to the Ric Flair Umaga beatdown, but I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. No, me neither. It's they both got the job done,
too. Yeah, they both got the job done because two legends were willing to be laid out for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a smart call. All right, so that's the week. Now, let's see if there's anything interesting that happened in the world during this week. In the sports world, there actually was a big development, one that is still felt today. On Thursday, April 6th, the NFL released its schedule for the 2006 season. Most notably, this is the first year that the NFL will use a flex scheduling system in order to show the biggest games during primetime, which would be Sunday Night Football,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, picked up the rights from NBC. They got Al Michaels and they have John Madden now, so it's a big deal.
It is.
So, you know, they'll have a choice of their games, while CBS and Fox still have the right to protect their biggest games. So that's where we're at. So this is the start of a new innovation.
Yeah, it's mostly worked out. I mean,
it's definitely mostly worked out.
You know, as of last year, you can flex Monday Night Football games too, but they haven't yet. Which
I still don't understand that one.
It's a little tougher, I think.
It's much tougher.
You know, you need a couple weeks of notice, and even then, like.
It's an easier sell for somebody to go people, a game on Sunday than it is Monday.
Are people really, like, flying in for Monday Night Football or Sunday or NFL games? I mean, I guess NFL games in general but.
I feel like they would be for Sundays. For Mondays, it's just tougher because it's a Monday.
Yeah, but they're very clearly trying to make Monday Night Football, you know, relevant again.
They are, now, but I would like to see that done in practice than just theory.
Yeah.
I think you're asking a lot of people, and also, like you said, you need so much notice because this isn't like the flex scheduling where they can be found out a week before. No, you're adding another day of rest.
Yeah.
So that's something that needs to be announced weeks in advance, and like you're taking people out of rhythm.
It's fair.
I think I would be more okay with flex scheduling on Mondays if they just dump the Thursday stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that would probably be the best idea.
Again, it's just you're taking people out of rhythm, like literally changing a day.
Mm-hmm.
You're not changing a time from like 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Okay, you might be biding your time, but you're used to it.
Yeah.
You're not used to your game getting pushed the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, here. So, let's see. So, Jimmy Rollins is in the midst of a hitting streak, but it ended on that Thursday at 38 games because he went 0-4 in a Phillies loss to the Cardinals. So he had a really long hit streak that had extended from the previous season going into this one, but it only lasted the first couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
First couple of games.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. In addition to that, let's see here. Let's see. Is there anything else that interesting that's going on this week in sports? Not particularly. There's a couple of things Just mostly about UEFA Cup, but they're still in the quarterfinals, so I'm just going to wait till the finals for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, current events wise, also there's not too much, so I think we can probably move on to the next episode of Raw.
Yes, I do think that this Chris Shelton thing. Yeah, it was 2006.
Yeah, nine homers in the first 13 games.
Yes.
Yes.
Good times.
Yes.
Yeah, so we can move on to the next week here. Top five songs. Be Without You stays at number five. T.I. is in the top five with What You Know. You're Beautiful is up to three. And then two is Temperature and one is Still Bad Day.
Mm-hmm.
For movies, debuting at number five, Lucky Number 7. Down to four is Inside Man. Debuting at number three is Take the Lead, which I don't know if I've ever heard of.
Lead?
Yeah. Debuting at number two is a movie I saw in theaters, which is Benchwarmers, which is probably very bad, but was very entertaining back then.
I have a story about Benchwarmers and seeing it in the theaters that I'm not talking about on this podcast.
And then Ice Age 2 is still number one.
Also, Take the Lead had Antonio Banderas, Rob Brown, and Alfre Woodard in it, as well as there's a couple other people. No, really? That's funny. Let me see. Oh, yeah, okay. So it had, you're not familiar because you never watched the show, but Degrassi, the Next Generation watchers would recognize a name in the cast, Lauren Collins, who played Paige.
Okay.
So, once again, that is for an audience here who knows about Degrassi and the Next Generation. Because I'm not seeing any other really names that are jumping out at me here for that movie, but clearly that was mostly driven by Banderas, I would imagine.
Yeah. And then because
it was like a you know, dancing movie.
Oh, okay.
Very in back then in the mid-2000s, as anyone who lived through that era would know.
We have one piece of wrestling news here regarding the upcoming suspension of Randy Orton, which we've kind of alluded to the past few weeks. Again, no one really knows what he did, but basically it was a series of incidents. He's lucky he wasn't fired. Orton had used the C word to insult women behind the scenes multiple times. You know, there's the stuff with the baby oil. There's the stuff with other things that he did to people's bags. In the Torch, it says, you know, from one WWE source, he's lucky he didn't get fired. He's a lot of growing up to do. It was just stupid, disrespectful to boys and company. Undertaker despises him. Ric Flair, Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, even Triple H have gotten tired of him. They barely tolerate him. So, you know, Randy's lucky. And, I mean, to his credit, after this, I think he did kind of turn it around. He'll be implicated in a lot of the stuff next summer. But, I mean, that's kind of different than a conduct thing. Which, you know, that Sports Illustrated thing next summer is going to be interesting in general for this show, because a lot goes on in summer of 2007, for better or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, but wanted to just make note of one thing, if I may. Debuting, if anyone wants to feel old right now, debuting this week on the Billboard Hot 100, two songs that still have some trickle down now. Debuting at 93 was the phrase How to Save a Life, which has been played into oblivion because Grey's Anatomy somehow is still on
TV. Still on, yeah.
Don't get that one. And debuting at 95 was Young Jocks, It's Going Down.
Mm.
So yeah, that song is 16 years old, in case you wanted to feel old today.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Let's move to Raw, however.
But yes, we won't see Randy Orton again until June.
Yeah, so until June. Till the WWE versus ECW head-to-head show.
Yes. So we got Raw, April 10th, 2006, from Milwaukee, the Bradley Center.
Yes.
They
hit up Wisconsin this week because they're at the Rush Center.
Yes.
Later on.
Bradley Center kind of sucked. Fife-serve's a lot nicer.
Fife-serve is so nice. Though I will say, the catering that day at BMO Harris, Bradley Center, whatever, at the Marquette game that we covered, pretty good.
That was good. Yeah.
It was quite good.
Edge is here to open the evening. And then as he's coming down, says, you know, at Backlash, it's going to be Edge against Triple H against Cena for the title. Me? Edge is victorious at WrestleMania and last week on Raw, so everyone needs to start appreciating him more. You know, he's the most watched WWE champion in the past 5 years. At Backlash, he's going to become a two-time WWE champion, which brings out John Cena, and they still don't know how to feel about him. Cena says that the ratings only went up when Edge was champion because they wanted to see Cena kick his ass, and Edge came out here to talk, Cena came out here to fight. Edge doesn't want to fight. He says that Cena's problem is that he cares what everyone thinks, and Cena says that he thinks Edge is an asshole. Cena's glad that everyone isn't constantly telling him how great he is because he'd believe his own hype and then he'd have an ego. This brings out Triple H. Triple H doesn't care if the fans boo him or cheer him because they respect him. That's what counts. Edge wants them to keep paying attention to him instead of just Triple H and Cena because he won at WrestleMania against Mick Foley. Mick Foley's never going to be back in WWE because of Edge, and he was a star of WrestleMania. And, you know, Triple H isn't really impressed with someone beating Mick Foley because he did that already in 2000. So,
yeah.
Edge would prove his point tonight, but he's still dealing with his injuries. But at Backlash, he's going to take the title. And Triple H said before he came out, he talked to Vince, and tonight it's going to be Triple H and Cena against Edge in a handicap match. So Triple H went to shake Cena's hand and instead slapped him.
Yeah, you've also left out the part where Triple H called Mick Foley a turd.
Yeah, that too.
Triple H has some good quotables in this feud here. I'm going to tell you that right now. This is, again, another effective segment. It makes me want to see them all fight each other.
Yeah.
So we move forward to RVD versus Rob Conway, and Shelton Benjamin, the Intercontinental Champion, is on commentary for this one. And he wants to fight Van Damme for his Money in the Bank contract,
mm-hmm.
which is informed to us on commentary during this match. And RVD picks up the win, and then you know, Steve Romero, their new reporter, comes up, and or I shouldn't say new, because he's been working Velocity for a little while here now.
I think he's new to Raw.
Yeah, he's new, definitely
new to
Raw.
He was on SmackDown for a while.
Exactly, yeah, he was doing Velocity.
I didn't even know he was still there, honestly.
I'm actually surprised he is. But yeah, he comes up, he informs RVD of what it was, and basically RVD implies that there's no way that he's putting Money in the Bank on the line unless, basically, Shelton puts up the IC title. So we'll see where that goes. That seems like an interesting back and forth we've got here.
You know, again, I don't think I've ever seen Backlash 2006, but just having, you know, RVD and Shelton, and then the triple threat, and then the tag match, I'm excited for it. You know, it seems like they're going to do maybe one more Mickey and Trish match, too. So,
yeah,
it's looking like a good show so far.
Yeah, and it's at Rupp Arena.
Yeah, that's cool, too.
Which is also pretty cool.
Maria's interviewing Mickey. Mickey says she can't wait to get back to Toronto with her title. And Maria says, you know, you're not from Toronto. Trish is. And Mickey says that she knows where she's from. She's going to have a match with Maria later for the title. So, good for Maria getting a title shot
good
here.
Good for Maria, yes.
Spirit Squad are in action with against Kane and Big Show, who cashed in their rematch clause.
But which, before that...
Yeah, Kane is walking around backstage, hearing
voices in his head.
Hearing voices about May 19th. We'll see more what that is as we get closer. It's something very stupid.
Yes.
Big Show and Kane kind of, you know, build some momentum early on, but they go to commercial and come back, and Spirit Squad are in control. And then they also get, like, 15 minutes. So Kane goes out and kind of throws a bunch of chairs in the ring and gets them disqualified, and then chokeslams Big Show. So they are officially not a team anymore.
Correct.
They're going to have a hilarious match in a few weeks. And, yeah. So we're moving on to this May 19th thing.
Yeah, we are.
Move on. We see Vince and Shane in a church. Vince is looking for Sean's tag team partner. He does the Triple H thing with the holy water, which I forgot about.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, Vince says on the seventh day, God rested, but Vince doesn't believe in days off, so he's a better work ethic.
God.
Just, you know, a lot of stuff. It's good. Go watch it.
Bat shit is what it is.
Very funny. Only something that they would do.
Absolute absurdity of it all is, you know, quite telling.
Yeah.
And then we get, after that, Armando Alejandro Estrada is back. He introduces Umaga, who beat the shit out of poor Colt Cabana.
Yeah. So, good for Colt, you
know.
It's kind
of funny that they had him work Milwaukee, but not Chicago.
Well, yeah.
They did what they had to do, obviously. Yeah, I just think that's funny.
It is.
Just because, again, you know, you had Punk in Chicago the week before, too.
That's true.
Nice little, nice little 2 weeks for those two. Carlito came out. He said that he's glad to be apart from Chris Masters. They'll fight at Backlash. And he suggests a Master Lock challenge, but Carlito hits him with a chair instead.
There we go.
Yeah, and also, we'll get more Carlito next week in a very shaky segment with a certain Matt Stryker. Also, with regards to Shelton Benjamin, watch out for who he faces next week. Big surprise coming.
Very exciting.
Big surprise coming.
We move on to Mickie James against Maria. Mickie gets the win pretty easily, and then Trish comes down dressed like Mickie and acting like Mickie, and kisses her, and Mickie leaves, and she's very confused, so... That's fun.
This is classic.
Yeah.
This is classic stuff right here.
Then it's time for Triple H and John Cena against Edge, and, you know, they do kind of work together fairly well. Yep. Then Triple H hits a pedigree on Edge, but Cena hits an FU on him, puts Edge in the STFU, and Edge taps out, so...
Good ending again, you know, it's turnabout's fair play.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's another good ending to this show.
Mm-hmm.
So, now that we're in the middle of the week, we're going to check again to see if there's anything going on in the world at this point in time. In 2006. My bad. My mic almost fell. Jesus. Okay. So, in the world of sports, not a very busy week, to be honest with you. But on Sunday, my mistake, Phil Mickelson won the Masters for the second time in 3 years.
Oh, there you go.
So, after not winning a major for quite some time, he's on a bit of a roll right now. But besides that, not too much going on in the world. Of sports. Very shallow week as baseball gets started and whatnot, so nothing super notable occurred.
Yeah.
And the same can really be said for the world at large.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, some sad news. Proof of Eminem's D12 group, unfortunately, was shot to death in a Detroit nightclub on April 11th.
Oh, yeah, that was the whole thing.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, but I do remember now, yes, so... that did occur that week in history. Speaking of which, I do like the addition of the This Week in History vignettes on Raw. I don't know if you've noticed.
They've
done that for the 24/7 Classics on Demand stuff.
Yeah, well, they did one on SmackDown about Barely Legal 1997,
yeah.
Which was in the news today, actually, because Paul Heyman was talking about it a little bit. Because it was their first pay-per-view. And, it's cool that they did. And they, on SmackDown also, they showed the King of the Ring with...
Yes.
I think they showed Austin winning and Brett winning.
Yep,
and
Brett won, yep.
Which, you know, those are two ones you should really spotlight
if
you
can do this. Course.
I mean,
yeah.
Savage is not in good graces at this point,
nope.
So they're not going to spotlight his.
They're not going to spotlight Ken Shamrock's.
Yeah.
You can spotlight Edge's, I guess. But...
Yeah, but I mean, those were two that really...
Yeah, those are the two most significant ones.
Yeah.
So definitely agree there. So this was a very slow week in the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure the world appreciated that.
And then, speaking of King of the Ring, we open with the throne and the robe and... all that in the ring. Booker comes out with Charmel. Says he's going to win King of the Ring, and it's going to make him a star like Bret Hart or Stone Cold, which he is correct. I mean,
he is.
Charmel says Booker is born to be a king, and Booker says that no one in the tournament can beat him. He tries on the robe, but Bobby Lashley comes out and spears him. Bobby Lashley is also in the tournament. So is Matt Hardy. So is Kurt Angle, Randy Orton.
There's a guy who rules, by the way. Lashley.
Yeah, he's
always
very good.
Has.
Yes.
But he's definitely found a new edge now.
Yeah, and I didn't talk about it when we were talking about WrestleMania, because we didn't really talk about that match at length, but it's cool that, you know, his second run, I know it started the way it did, where he did the Sami Zayn stuff, and, you know, people were down on it, but his second run's been very good, and I'm glad he was able to get it, he was able to come back, and really kind of, because, you know, that first run kind of left something to be desired, it wasn't his fault,
no.
You know, we're watching it now, he came back, he was able to win the title, they finally did the Brock match, which wasn't very good, but, you know.
They did it.
Yeah. I don't know that it was bad either.
No, I don't think it's bad. We need to watch that with fresher perspective.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was actually, because I know they were in Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
And I was actually curious by Mr. Kennedy's absence, because I didn't know if he was close to coming back yet. Turns out, his first match will be next month, in May, on OVW. In Louisville, Kentucky, in the OVW heavyweight title match against CM Punk.
Oh, there you go.
He's back. He's back there, and then he eventually comes back to SmackDown in June.
He also cut a promo for the live crowd.
Oh, he did. There we go. Okay.
Basically,
I was curious.
Ended it with "I moved to Minnesota."
Oh, Jesus Christ! the ultimate heel move for anybody from Wisconsin.
They show. There's some Packers in the crowd. We get Najee Davenport, Bubba Franks, and backup quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who is referenced by name.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, because this is right after his rookie season.
So mm-hmm.
That's really funny.
Yeah, who would have known?
Shout out Najee Davenport, though.
Yes, he was very good.
Yes, he was.
You join Nitro against Brian Kendrick. Kendrick gets the win, keeps the momentum going, so it seems like eventually we're going to get a tag title match. I'm sure they'll do London against...
Mercury.
Yeah, Mercury next week.
I could see it.
You know. I mean, SmackDown has a long time before what would probably be Judgment Day would be their next show.
May 21st. Yeah, so that show is.
So they got some time.
Got plenty of time. Got about a month. Got a month to milk this out.
Paul Burchill faces a fellow named Rasheed Brown. William Regal comes out, and he's not dressed as a pirate. He's dressed as a buxom wench, which is arguably funnier than being dressed as a pirate, and he has to stay like that until Burchill loses the match. And Burchill gets the win, so Regal will have to continue dressing like that. You know, good for Regal.
Yes.
You know, he always leaned into this stuff when he really didn't have to, but, you know, that's kind of the difference. And that's what people talk about, you know, a common criticism of WWE is, you know, why do you want guys to show range? Well, you know, it adds a little bit of a layer to them. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you know, Regal doing the Raw Roulette Vegas showgirl thing. People still remember that.
Yeah.
And even like...
And the, you know, the crime time bit where he's back there and he slants his head and he dances
like, a lot of the Eugene stuff, you know, a lot of the commissioner stuff was comedy based. You
the
know,
piss
even
in the piss in the tea for WrestleMania X7 with Jericho.
And I don't know if it was a dark segment or what, but even yesterday he was selling for you know, Danhausen's curses
and
stuff.
Yeah, it was apparently a segment after the show.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was fun. Regal is hilarious. He always has been.
He is. He's great.
He's great. Also, Rasheed Brown actually was a Milwaukee based wrestler, who was in Bruce City Wrestling, the Bruce City Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, there we go.
I just looked that up because I was curious to see if he had done anything. But yeah, you know, he had been wrestling for 11 years prior to this.
No, damn.
Yeah, because it says his debut was December of 95 and retired in January of 2012. Thank you for your service.
I mean, that's cool. Like,
yeah, it always.
You think that's like a highlight for those guys?
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Probably, right?
Yeah. Like, I would. Yeah, I mean, you're on national television.
Yeah.
We're gonna squash match. That sounds fun as hell.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like if you're like that, that's cool.
Yeah, Kurt Angle's with Crystal. He congratulates Ray on winning the World Heavyweight Championship. Said it was Randy's fault. Kurt will take it out on Randy tonight in their King of the Ring match. We move on. Matt Hardy beat Road Warrior Animal.
Can we please move on?
Animal's not in King of the Ring, so that's good.
Yeah, it's a relief.
Palmer Cannon says the network doesn't endorse The Miz. I mean, he's not going to be here in a couple weeks anyway. We don't need to.
No, this is just an angle that never actually came to fruition.
I mean, it's a bummer that he leaves because, you know, JBL and Benoit were dicks to him.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, again, I don't know that that would have been the best person for Miz to debut against anyway. I mean, I know Palmer Cannon was working OVW or whatever. I've never actually seen him wrestle. Maybe he's fine.
I mean, I think more, maybe that's more trust in Miz to try and see if he can make something of it.
Yeah.
But I think, honestly, I think he would have.
Because I don't really remember Miz's first, like, big feud. I know he does the Diva Search stuff.
Because he also is the host of SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, that's a good question, actually. I wonder when Miz's, like, first big feud was. Well, because I know he goes to ECW because soon after this, you know, he ends up teaming with Morrison.
Because
they do the greatest tag team of the 21st century thing.
Yeah, that probably.
The Dirt Sheet. That was in 2008. So something, like I said, I think eventually he just goes to ECW.
Well, yeah, he goes to Diva Search, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, they clearly see that he has, you know, the charisma and all that, and they're going to get what they can out of it. But, you know.
I still don't understand the nerds who hate him. He's so good.
Yeah, that was weird, huh? Like, oh, why is Cody facing Miz? Well, I mean,
it's The Miz.
Yeah.
Like, come on,
you need a guy to go out there and keep Cody safe and, you know, have a perfectly acceptable match, which it was. And listen, if people are upset that, like, oh, it's not a fresh matchup for Cody, there's not any fresh matchups for Cody in WWE. He was gone for 6 years. He wasn't gone for, you know, 15 years.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, it's been the same people at the top for, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's worked Roman and all that already, but it's still different, though. But, like, to be like, hey, you know, he was working Sammy Guevara and now he's working The Miz. Well, The Miz is significantly better than Sammy Guevara, and that's not just like I don't like Sammy Guevara. That's, you know, clear. Like, it was strange.
Yeah, so we don't actually see Miz. His first match is not until August.
Yeah.
So these will be running for a bit. I don't know who really his first feud was because He does a lot of stuff on... He does some stuff on SmackDown. Again, yeah. So he eventually lands in ECW in 2007. Mm-hmm. His first match... Well, actually, I'm saying... Sorry. Yeah, his first match on ECW is in July of 2007 against Nunzio. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing based on the fact that they had him face Nunzio and then Balls Mahoney, he probably did the anti-ECW thing.
Yeah,
that sounds... I think that probably checks out for a guy like Miz.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Probably did that deal. So let's get back on track here. We've got ourselves a steel cage match for the United States title between JBL and Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
They said it was going to be a celebration. It did not happen.
No, and I mean, it's fine. Like, you know, the thing is, with watching cage matches, especially when Benoit's in them, like, I know it's uncomfortable, but also they don't live up to, you know, the one that he was in. That's with one of the best matches of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and just with so many ridiculous things happen. But I mean, even just then, like with Benoit, like obviously anything watching him is hard.
Yeah,
but he becomes hard to watch because he's not very good anymore.
No, and I mean, we talked about that a little bit too, like. You know, the big thing was, like, Eddie Dying did this whole number on him, and it kind of clearly did now with hindsight.
Clearly, yeah.
Knowing what we know, you know.
Yeah.
It's, but, you know. And this match is fine.
Yeah, like, it's
you know,
fine.
Benoit does a top rope German suplex, and he's going to get out the door, and then Jillian goes to close it on him, but the ref kind of stops her, but then she closes it, and it hits JBL instead. But
good
Benoit,
false
can't get the win, and then JBL hits a low blow, and, you know, so it's... It doesn't feel like the feud is technically over. Maybe it's not. But, yeah, I mean, it was what it was. Daivari says, Great Khali will take down The Undertaker. Good luck to him.
Good luck to him. The Jim and I defeated the Mexicals in a random tag team match. And then we get our first King of the Ring match between Kurt Angle and Randy Orton. Pretty good match. These two work well together. They don't work for long, obviously, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
But they work well with each other. Angle won with an ankle lock. He continued to attack Orton after the match was over to send a message, basically, and put him over big. And we'll see you in June, Randy, because he's done now for 2 months.
He is. And that was SmackDown.
That was SmackDown, yes. Who are our Kings of the Ring?
That's a good question. I don't know if we can... I guess Umaga
and
Khali.
You know, I will vouch for Mickie James.
That's fair.
She could be our queen of one of our first queens of the ring.
Yeah.
So we'll do that, and then if you want to give a king, let's do co-kings of the ring, Umaga and the Great Khali, for destroying two legends, and also for Umaga for getting a win. Khali still protected because nothing happened to him, and then we'll also give a share to Mickie.
Fair.
That's a good podium.
Yeah,
that's
we
a good
can
podium.
We can work with that. I didn't. I know you watched the next week of shows already. Do you have any preview for matches that
like
are going
to stick
out?
Well, I started Raw. Like I said, we have a shaky segment with Matt Stryker and Carlito that I'm not looking forward to listening to again. We get some stuff that's really fun with Shelton Benjamin. Again, surprise on the way there. And like I said, I hadn't finished Raw. But what I've seen from it, I've enjoyed.
No. That's good. Look,
and it's from the old Savas Center.
Yes.
AKA the Enterprise Center.
A super show, because they're going to London.
Yes, and speaking of Missouri and wrestling, they're morons. They're just so stupid. I'm sorry. We'll save this conversation for later. But
yeah, that's fair.
So stupid.
But
if you're not privy to it, they want to regulate wrestling and MMA or whatever in Missouri, charging them like $1 per every ticket sold. Good luck to Missouri for getting any big events for wrestling ever again.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they may only get, like, one show a year now at this rate. Like, and even that might be pushing if they don't want to freaking do that, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Anyways, we hope you've enjoyed this special 2006-only edition of the Ruthless Aggression podcast here. We will be back next week, probably for a more proper show, I would say. So we'll get a week's worth of TV in. And then I believe Backlash is at the end of the month, correct?
Yes, we have some time.
Yeah, we do have some time there. And, you know, WrestleMania Backlash, the most stupendous WrestleMania Backlash of all time, will be in May, so we have a long time for that. And have a long time to Double or Nothing, too. So, going to be a lot of 2006-centric stuff coming your way. So, for Rob, I'm Chris. Thank you for listening. You can check out Barber's Chair at barberschair.net. Scott and Joe had posted a GoFundMe to help support them getting to the NFL draft. So if you're in a giving mood, I believe they have it. I know I shared it on the Barber's Chair's Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably have that plastered everywhere. Like I said, if you're in a giving mood and want to help those two make moves, by all means, help the cause. You can listen to all of our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Spotify. And yeah, that's it from us. So take care, y'all.